Alana Myers-Taylor, Olympic bobsledder from Douglasville, Georgia, is celebrating. She got the biggest honor an Olympian can get, her teammates voting that she carry the flag in the opening ceremony.
Alana Myers-Taylor had been named to bear the flag of the United States.
Back in Beijing for the opening of the 2022 Olympic Winter Games. Tonight's ceremony begins with a video.
Supported by her husband and infant son in Beijing, she was poised to lay down a comeback performance for the ages on the bobsled track. But you know what they say about best laid plans.
She can't because of that COVID test, so she FaceTimes speed skater Brittany Bowe.
Instead, a positive COVID test confined her to an isolation room for the opening and start of the games. Sounds bad enough, but one factor may have made it even more penalizing: her gender. Today on the podium, an interrupted dream that illustrates both progress made and the road ahead for women in the games. From NBC Sports, this is The Podium, a podcast about the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games. I'm your host, Lauren Shahadi, coming to you every day from the ground with a unique angle on the performances that are carving what's possible on ice and snow.
Alana Myers-Taylor's journey to the fourth Olympics for her has been quite the roller coaster.
That's right, Craig. The veteran bobsledder testing positive for COVID just after touching down in China, then having to quarantine away from her husband and son.
Alana is actually one of the few athletes whose child is with her because she's still nursing her two-year-old son, Nico.
Let's start on February 5th. Most athletes are in the dining hall, recovering from the commute and excitement of the previous night's opening ceremony, or talking with her coaches about the competition venues they've seen for the very first time. February 5th is also where we find Alana Myers-Taylor in a hotel room, alone. An athlete's training schedule at the games is usually pretty structured to ensure peak performance on the day of their events. But Alana doesn't even know when she...
Oh, sorry. I have to take it. Sorry, I just got news that I am leaving tonight. Alana Myers-Taylor, USA, bobsled. So I landed in Beijing on January 27th, and on January 29th, unfortunately, I tested positive for COVID. I've been in isolation now for, I don't even know how many days that is, but got isolated pretty quickly. Got taken to the isolation hotel on the 31st, and now am getting out of isolation today, February 5th. Well, I'll probably get out tomorrow morning, but I'm getting out nonetheless.
Wow, not the way you would want to start your fourth Olympic experience, I'm sure. What do you feel like you may have missed?
So one of the major things I missed was I was named flag bearer and had to miss the opening ceremony, so got all dressed up in my room in the isolation hotel and watched it here sitting in my regalia, nice and hot in this hotel room in winter coat. But it was still really cool to be able to see Brittany Bowe walk in my place and John Schuster, both of them to carry the flag in. The most thing that I've been missing though is just my family. They're isolated as well. They have COVID as well. Unfortunately, even though I've had two negative tests now, they are still in isolation. So I won't get to see them as of yet, but I'm optimistic that I'll be able to see them soon.
Do you usually travel with your family to compete, or is this just an Olympic thing?
I travel everywhere with my son and my husband. My husband's on the bobsled team as well, so it's a family effort. My son has actually been to Beijing before, so you know, some of the questions I've got is like, why did you bring your son? It's because I've brought him here before. We've been through this pandemic for 2 years and managed to avoid COVID with everything for the past 2 years. So we really, you know, we didn't see this coming. All our tests coming in here were negative. We've never gotten it before, even at its height before there were vaccines. So we really were confident that we'd be safe coming in here, but unfortunately it got the best of us.
You have great perspective. I can hear in your voice someone who I don't know, who isn't letting themselves be beat down by a really tough hand you've been dealt, right? Are you able to keep that optimism consistently, or does it kind of ebb and flow?
Yeah, I think anybody who's in isolation, you have your highs and lows. I think the hardest thing is sometimes, as hard as it is, just FaceTiming with my son, and, you know, I'll sing to him and I'll actually respond and everything like that. And he'll smile at me, and not being able to hold him, like, that's the hardest part, because up until this point, I've only ever spent one night away from him. So not having him with me, and, you know, even still, I'm trying to breastfeed and trying to pump and get milk to him. And it's just been, you know, it's been a difficult journey, but, you know, we've had some positives as far as, like, I've had the negative test. He's had a negative test too. So we're optimistic that we're all going to get out of here pretty soon. And we've all been asymptomatic this entire time, which is the biggest blessing when it comes to COVID.
I hear the resiliency and the optimism in your voice. You put on your opening ceremony outfit. That was pretty cool. I mean, tell us about your philosophy towards dealing with all this adversity.
Yeah, I think whenever you're in a bad situation, you can choose how you respond to it. Knowing that everyone is human, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. But at the end of the day, I think the more positive you can stay in a circumstance, the better off you're going to be able to overcome it. It's not easy. I relied heavily on talking to my husband, talking to my dad, talking to Nico even, and my family and everybody like that. And I just think, though, positivity matters, and what you tell yourself in your mind matters as well.
Yeah. Easier said than done, though, right? Are Olympic athletes better suited to deal with this kind of obstacle?
I think the difference between athletes and the general civilian is that we actually train for it. You know, I've worked with sports psychologists in general my entire bobsledding career. 15 years I've been working with sports psychologists. So I kind of have a leg up on some of the general population, where they don't necessarily have that one-on-one working with a mental health professional. So I think it's something that you can learn. You know, my husband was born with the most positive attitude, the most optimism ever. And I think I learned some of it from him, but I also think a lot of it came from just working with those professionals for a long time.
Sure. Do you draw on experience? I guess my question would be, do you ever look back on obstacles overcome in the past to sort of, I don't know, deconstruct the next one?
Yeah. So I think the biggest one that I always compare everything to, why things are somewhat easier, is because I went through 2 days of labor. Over 2 days of labor, and had my son, who I love to death, but then we spent a little bit of time in the NICU. And anybody who spent time in the NICU knows that it's probably one of the worst places in the world. The best feeling in the world when you get out, but it is definitely the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. You know, I've been through sports injuries, I've had multiple concussions, I've done all these different types of things, but being in the NICU and having your child hooked up to breathing tubes, like, it is one of the scariest things I've ever been through, and one of the scariest things hopefully I will ever be through. So I feel like with that perspective, if you look at things, like, especially COVID, you know, we're all healthy, and that's the biggest blessing at all. And being in the NICU, that's not the case you're in.
I can totally relate to that. During times like this, you realize what's important and what makes you happy.
That's the biggest thing, is I slide the best and I am able to drive my bobsled the best when I'm happy. And, you know, I'm still going to be getting back to myself. My family's still in isolation, so that's going to be a hard pill to swallow. And, you know, hoping every day they get out and hoping they have what they need, you know, that's just going to be something mentally that I have to work through. But the biggest thing is, now I'm just going to be grateful to be out there, because it didn't have to happen. You know, some people get COVID and they are not able to clear a negative test for a long time. And fortunately, I was able to in a relatively short amount of time. So, you know, I'm extremely grateful to be out there. And that's just what I'm going to take into every day of sliding. Of course, I still want to go after a gold medal. But at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to work on just getting out there and getting those runs first.
It's so interesting you say that, because I've spoken to a lot of Olympians for this show. And on one hand, you're all very uncompromising, right, when it comes to your process and your training. And yet you're also so great at adapting when invariably the conditions change. How does that work?
Yeah, so I think in one way you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan of action about how you're going to go after something and, like, attack it. So every day, for instance, my breakfast is planned out, my lunch is planned out, all these different meals are usually planned out, just to take nutrition for an example. But I also have a son. So even though I plan out these different meals, sometimes, you know, if he's not feeling what I'm eating or something like that, and then I've got to cook something else, then maybe I should just have what he's having or make something that's easier for him or something like that. So that's where the adaptability piece comes in. I mean, the same comes from training too, is every day I have a set workout. But if I had a long night with Nico, or if I'm just fatigued from the training of the day before, then we adjust, then we make changes. So that's where that adaptability piece is key.
Now, the U.S. bobsledder Alana Myers-Taylor, a three-time Olympic medalist, got some very welcome news today. She received her second negative COVID test and has been cleared to compete next weekend. Myers-Taylor tested positive for COVID.
I'm going out there and giving every single thing I have. Win, lose, or draw, like, I'm going to give it all, and we'll see what happens.
Now that Alana is out, the events she's going to be trying to prep for include a brand new one, the Women's Monobob.
So one of the exciting things about these 2022 Beijing Olympics is that there are two women's bobsled events for the first time. And yet they are not exactly the two events that Alana Myers-Taylor wanted to compete in.
Women's Monobob is making its Olympic debut at Beijing 2022. And unlike the other bobsleigh events, all athletes will race in identical sleds. So success is purely about the athlete's own performance on the track.
My name is Alex Azzi, and I am the editor of On Her Turf's blog.
Alex, before we get into why Alana's situation is illustrative of a lot of interesting issues involving equality at the Olympics, tell us about On Her Turf.
On Her Turf covers women in sports on and off the field. It started back during the 2008 PyeongChang Games. And at that time, it was just actually on Instagram, but we've since expanded to Twitter, to TikTok. We have an editorial site with the blog, which I manage. And then we also do a variety of mini series throughout the year.
Oh, it all sounds so awesome. Take us back to that monobob. Why haven't we seen it included in the games until this year?
Over the years, women have had opportunities to compete in a two-man event, or I should say two-woman event, but they've been wanting to compete in the four-man event or four-woman event since that's what men have had access to for nearly a century. And so in the lead-up to these games, the IOC has been very clear that they want to have gender balance, and so they decided to add another bobsled event, but the event that they added is a women's monobob. So as the name implied, mono means one person. So it is just the female pilots that are able to capitalize on this, meaning that Alana Myers-Taylor and Kaylee Humphreys have the opportunity to compete in two events, but the break women that are supporting them don't have that same medal opportunity.
It's so interesting, the dynamics. And there's fewer medal opportunities, right? So in Alana's situation, does it become even more costly if you're a female athlete?
Yeah, I think you can see it on the U.S. Olympic team roster. So let's just back up for a second. On the entire U.S. Olympic team, I think there's something like 223 athletes. 108 of them are women. We also have our first ever non-binary athlete at a Winter Games, which is very exciting. But so there are fewer women than men on the U.S. Olympic team, but women actually qualified a higher number of quota spots than men did. Women qualified about 84% of the quota spots that were available to them, whereas U.S. men only qualified 80%. So it really shows you that there are fewer opportunities for women across the Olympic Games. When we look at it in bobsled, though, it's especially apparent because the team has eight men and four women, but they qualified the same number of sleds.
So she's had to work extra hard to be in this position in the first place, one that's being sort of shaken by a positive COVID test. But then even that can become more complicated for women at the games.
Yeah, something that really stood out to me was the fact that she is one of two moms on this U.S. Olympic team in Beijing, but she is nursing right now. And so that presents a challenge that I'm not totally sure if organizers expected. My understanding of it is that because she needed two negative tests in order to get out of isolation, she decided to isolate separately from her son, Nico, and pump and have milk delivered to him. So I can't even imagine how difficult that decision must have been. But it really makes me think, too, about whether or not we are designing things for women and all women, including women who are nursing, you know, it almost made me think back to the March Madness tournaments that we saw last year with men's and women's basketball teams. And teams were only allowed a certain number of support staff. And so if a coach had young children, they weren't allowed to bring those young children with them. And so some coaches, you know, because they were nursing, maybe did bring their children with them because there was no other option. But that maybe then meant that the strength and conditioning coach wasn't able to come. And so it really reminded me of like how much we need to be considering women and mothers when we're, you know, designing plans, whether that's during a pandemic or not.
It's so well said. And she thankfully has her husband, an Olympic competitor in his own right, to team up with her parenting duties. We're seeing a lot of new mixed team events in the last two Olympics. What's your perspective on those?
Yeah, so I think the mixed events are great because they show that men and women can compete together. I think one of the issues that arises from them is the fact that even in mixed events, they are still gendered, right? There is one man and one woman that competes in curling mixed doubles. And yet we know that that is not representative of society. There are non-binary athletes that don't necessarily feel like they are included when you have to fall under the category of man or woman. And so at the Tokyo Games and here in Beijing, we have some of the first non-binary athletes to compete at the Olympics. And so it's really cool to see that they are out and proud and willing to be their authentic selves, even though the sports structure right now doesn't necessarily support them 100%, but to see them being pioneers in that way, I think it could help change perspectives going forward.
So far, Alex, how are these Olympics registering as far as gender equality?
So something that I always think is really important is that, you know, I have critiques of the Olympic program, right? I think that women should be allowed to compete in Nordic combined. It's the only sport right now, summer or winter, that women don't have the opportunity to compete in. At soonest, they'll have the chance to compete in 2026, but we're not quite there yet. You know, in hockey, we have 10 teams. The men have 12. So there are lots of little things and they add up across the board that, you know, are the result that we don't have 50-50 gender equality. Right now, it's about 45 to 55. That being said, still super important to note that the Olympics are the best stage for women's sports, in my opinion. There's no other time that you have people that are tuning in to watch women compete at the same level that you do during the Olympics, be it summer or winter. And so I think it's just demanding equality goes all the way, right? Like they've taken a lot of big steps and a lot of little steps along the way, and it's just time to keep going and adding to those.
I love that. There's room for all of us at the table. So well said. Alex, thanks so much for joining us. For the first time ever, the Super Bowl and Winter Olympics will be on the same day and the same network. Competition continues at the Winter Olympics tonight. And don't miss Super Bowl 56 as the LA Rams take on the Cincinnati Bengals tonight on NBC and Peacock. Follow The Podium now on Apple Podcasts to get automatic downloads. And tune into the networks of NBC to watch every moment of the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games.